as we do something a little bit more different today as a church in terms of engaging together. And the two areas that we're going to focus on this morning, Jesus talks about loving God with all our hearts and minds and soul and strengths, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And then he gives us, that's called the Great Commandment. And then he gives us the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We said over the last 2 weeks that a great commitment to those Great Commandments and the Great Commission makes his name great. Amen. Yeah? Makes his name great, and in the process builds a great church, which reflects his greatness. Yeah, so that's what we're about. Our lives have been changed by Jesus, and we're wanting to get to know him more, and we're wanting to see more people introduced to him that can then go out and be so in love with him, so captivated by him, and empowered by him to go and contagiously spread that good news with others, children, older people, all of us. So I'm going to ask, Elisa is on children's ministry today. So just before the children go out, I've asked Elisa if she would share. We're going to look at two things today. Discipleship, becoming disciples of Jesus and disciple makers. And secondly, we're on this mission with him to introduce people to him. So it's kind of making disciples, because actually that's, come forward, Elisa. That's the goal, and that's the desire of Jesus. And over the next few years, we want to see every born-again believer at 3CI growing in their discipleship and being a disciple maker, and growing in their confidence in witnessing to Jesus. So I've asked Elisa, if we started a mentoring kind of group last year, Lynn did with a number of the ladies. And I asked Lisa if she could share a quick testimony about what it meant for her, how it's helped her in her walk with the Lord.
So when yesterday I reflected on my Titus 2 journey, which was the mentoring group that we did last year, an image came to my mind, which is a torch, a light that helped me kind of navigate through the tricky path of life. And when I say tricky, I mean the busyness of life. So being a mom, working full time, sustaining, you know, relationships and so on. And Titus 2 for me was very much a safe base. So it was a place that we as a group committed to return to every month and dwell in the word of the Lord. And that shed light over so many things. I think, first of all, it was a matter of, remaining in the word of the Lord and creating, being empowered to create that space to take that home and do it on a daily basis in our daily lives. And I think that does two things, or did two things for me. First of all, for the first time, I actually realized what it is having that personal relationship with God and working on it. And that kind of creating, giving God a chance to speak to me. That is very empowering. And if we are going to make disciples of all nations, we do need that guidance. We need the empowerment, and we need to remain attached to the vine. That is what mentoring did for me. And I think for someone like me who tends to kind of drift away back to the default settings of just being busy, especially on a busy season, that's what you need. You need to remain connected. And and I say connected to the Lord, but also connected to each other, because I think that mutual connectedness, the kind of coming together with amazing women and cheering each other on. And, you know, just whether it was struggles or achievements, that was amazing. And you need that. You need to feel like you're an army. You are not a lone warrior. That's very much what Titus 2 did for me. So vertically, horizontally, and empowerment. And that's, I feel, you know, what we need if we are going to be the Lord's, you know, warrior.
All right, okay. So we're focusing this morning on mentoring and mission, discipleship and taking this wonderful gospel out to people and equipping and empowering each person to do that. And so I just want to give you, we're going to give a handout on this later, but often with evangelism, often with sharing the gospel, we have fears, we have things that we are struggle with in terms of stepping over the threshold or just speaking to people about Jesus. And but the I think the overriding thing for me is that, you know, is it can become more contagious and more of a lifestyle when we actually recognize the wonder of what God's done for us. And also what the purpose of it all. And so I want to just give you quickly 7 reasons why every believer, every child of God, everyone who's born again, has come to know Jesus, is a witness to him, is an evangelist, actually, and is a harvester. We've been talking about harvesting and reaching people with the gospel. And so the first one is, you are a witness because you're a follower of Christ. You follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you to become a fisher of men. Ken was sharing that scripture with me yesterday. And so actually, evangelism is all about who we follow and how we follow, actually. So Jesus says, if you follow me, if you get behind me, get right near to me, then I will. He's committed to this thing. If we get near to him, he says, I will, not I maybe or perhaps. He said, I will make you to become. So it's a process. It's a process that he's committed to. And as we, Elisa was saying, as we abide in him, as we get to know him, he takes us through that process so that we, and practically and directs our steps to and helps us to engage people, to talk with others about him. Second thing is, reason is that because of his command and backing on your life. So Reg read that scripture, Reg and Val read that scripture this morning where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. I'm risen from the dead. I've conquered the grave. Therefore, I'm giving you a command to go into all the world and share the gospel with everybody because God loves everyone. But he says, all authority. Now that means, when he says all, what does that mean? All. In the Message Bible, it says all the authority in the universe. In the Passion Translation, all. That's an incredible, you know, I mean, that's incredible authority. Actually, God, you have the full backing of heaven as a son and daughter of your heavenly Father. The full backing of heaven. And that's important because when you sometimes, so when Danny and I went out on the streets yesterday to share with people and engage with people, sometimes we feel, I mean, Jesus said, I send you out like lambs among wolves. You know, I mean, you know, who wants to go out like a lamb amongst wolves? Will you please raise? But Jesus, so Jesus says, there's going to be challenges, but look, I've given you all authority. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to go with you. I am with you, he says, always. I'm with you in it. And so there's the challenges that we think about, but he says, I've given you authority. Thirdly, because you are full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. The purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit primarily is to so that you can actually share about Jesus with others. But notice that he says so that you can be witnesses. Witnessing is not something that we do first. That's really important that we understand that. You know, this light doesn't try to be a light, it just is. Yeah. I don't try to be a child of God, I am a child of God. Jesus actually said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. It's something that we are. So my encouragement to us today as we go talk about this is actually be who you are. This is something that you are. Oh, I'm trying my hardest, I'm gritting my teeth, I'm white knuckling to speak to somebody about Jesus. No, get off that track. This is who you are. You're a child of God. You're chosen for this purpose. You're selected for this royal assignment. This is who we are. Okay, so the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to let our light shine through who we are. Number four, this is an interesting one. We are all witnesses to Jesus because he expects it of you and of me, irrespective of what your primary gifting or ministry is. So Paul said to Timothy, who was kind of a pastor, come leader, come apostle in training, he said to him, do the work of an evangelist. As you look after the church, that doesn't mean that you can just pastor and not evangelize. Yeah? So in other words, whatever our primary gifting is, and we're going to encourage one another around that as well a bit later, but that we can't just say, well, I'll do that and not do that. No, it's actually evangelism is for all, whatever our gifting is. Number five, the fifth reason, because God only has our hands, our feet, and our mouths to spread the gospel. Danny said that earlier. In other words, we together, as Christ's followers, are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ with the mouthpiece of God to the world. If we don't go and tell, how will they know? Paul says that in Romans. Unless we send people out, how will they know? Unless they proclaim. Sixthly, because you are an integral part of the local church. In other words, we are involved in what we do here as a community. The way that we welcome people, the way that we serve, the way that we minister prepares a network of relationships, a net, if you like, for people to come into the kingdom. So each one of us has a part to play, and our part contributes to the net that actually is involved in seeing people come to Jesus. And then finally, and this is a wonderful thing, because each person has a unique testimony, a unique story, and a unique personality. Jenny, if you'd like to put that next slide up, can you just put all six up at the same time, the six approaches? So thank you. It's all personality evangelism. Bill Hybels talks about this, and there are at least six different approaches in Scripture that talk about how people can be witnesses to Jesus through serving, through inviting folk, like the woman at the well did, said, come and see a man that has changed my life, through friendship, like Matthew did when he got saved and he invited Jesus and his friends to a big party. Some people are amazing at just, you know, inviting people to Alpha courses or inviting people to meals and stories of hope, and it's an incredible thing, that invitational approach. Testimony, we're going to come back to that, and some people like Charles, you know, like to do things like apologetics and to debate and to show people who have genuine questions about Christianity, that actually Christianity has a reasonable ground to it in terms of believing what we believe. And so explaining the gospel and persuading people. And then some people just like the direct approach, kind of the one-on-one, or the direct approach. You're able to just speak to people very directly. People like Tom, who we know, and others. And they have a personality that can pull it off because they're just very direct and loving at the same time and respectful, but direct. We had a I remember two guys in the church that we led in South Africa many years ago, and we used to call them little and large because one of the guys was really large and the other guy was quite small. And funnily enough, it was the small guy that was very direct, and it was the large guy who was very relational, you know. But they worked together in such an amazing way. They did hospital visitation. They used to talk to people, you know, on in the streets, and you know, see people getting saved, and wonderful complementary team ministry. And that's one of the ways that we can encourage one another in this thing. Okay, so that's to encourage us that we all have a part to play in witnessing as well. A unique personality. That there are people in Edinburgh, in your community, in your workplace, in your school, in your university, that are like a lock. Their hearts are like a lock. That your unique personality will be like the key that will unlock their hearts. That's the exciting thing about evangelism. I mean, yesterday, just going out in the streets, I was with another lady who goes to another church, an African lady, and we had the privilege of introducing a young lady, probably youngish, probably about 20, in her 20s, a young lady, to Jesus at the foot of Leith Walk. She was standing with a big board advertising a craft sale or a craft show elsewhere. And yeah, it was just a divine moment where she opened up her heart. She understood the thing of a bridge and connection, and it wasn't actually that difficult. And it was a God moment. And there are people like that, though, where you're working, God's placed you strategically to be the key that unlocks hearts and lives. Amen. So, Ken, would you like to, I'm going to introduce you to Ken and Jeanette. Do you want to just stand first, Jeanette? I might come back to your story a bit later, Jeanette, if that's okay. Ken and Jeanette are from Liverpool. They're with us just for the weekend. They are both born in Zimbabwe, and they led a church in Zimbabwe in Harare for 12 years, part of that church for about 20, the church has been going for about 20 years now. And they came to the UK in May last year. We've known them for a number of years, Lynn and I. They're part of the wider team that we relate to. And they're here for the weekend. It's wonderful to have you with us. Lynn and I are going to be there in a couple of weeks' time, and they're going to be coming on to eldership in Liverpool with Russ and B.B. Kane. So before we get into our discussion about testimony around our tables, I thought I'd ask Ken to come and share his testimony briefly. Because what we're going to do shortly is ask you to, the people who are facilitating the tables will go through this thing of sharing a testimony briefly and give a handout. And essentially a testimony is to think about my life before I came to Jesus. How did I encounter Christ? And what has my life been like since then? What's the difference he's made? And I've asked Ken to come and do a short example of that for us and inspire us with that. Thanks, Ken. Let's do, yeah, come to the front, yeah. Let's just welcome Ken, shall we?
Two-minute testimony. Okay. All right. My name is Ken. I come from a family that was totally non-Christian. that because of something that had happened, my mom and dad never ever went to church. So I had no experience of Sunday school, I had no experience of church or anything. And when I was about 12 years old, I discovered the reason my folks probably didn't go to church, and that was the reason they had got married. My mom had fallen pregnant with me before she had, while she was still dating my dad. And back in those days, that was a horrific thing. And I think that the church turned their back on my mom and all of this. But I didn't know any of that story. All I discovered was that I was the reason my folks had got married. And then I discovered that when mom had first had me, she didn't want me. She'd done everything she could to try and get rid of me. But eventually she married my dad and they went on. But unfortunately, as a 12-year-old at that point at school, it actually played on me. And I got to a point where I didn't know if life was worth living. I didn't know if it was worth doing anything. And I'm only 12 years old. And I couldn't really go talk to my folks because they were the cause of everything. And I was, I couldn't see how I fitted in. And at school, we had an RI class, a religious instruction class. And I went along to the RI class. And we used to have, at that point, I'd gone to the Anglican one because my mom had said I'd originally been christened an Anglican. But I couldn't remember that. But I went along to the RI class, and the Anglican minister couldn't make it the one day that we were there. So most of the time, we just ignored what he said, I'll be honest. But the one day, he couldn't make it, and they found a Christian who said, I'll take the class. And this Christian came in at the very time when I was actually thinking that the best thing for me would be to kill myself. There was no point in me carrying on with what I was doing. So I was in the class, and he started talking about this guy called Jesus. And he started telling me that Jesus wanted to come and be a part of my life. And at the end, he did the thing where he says, who wants to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? And so I put up my hand. And everyone in the class was quite amazed because afterwards, when he got everyone to leave, he got those who had put up their hand to stay behind. He initially said, everyone close your eyes. But then he got us to stay behind. And everyone was quite horrified that I was one of those that put up their hand at that point. But what I then discovered, of course, was that in Jesus, I did have a reason. In Jesus, I wasn't not wanted. I actually had been formed. I had been wanted. I was his son. And even though I had a lot of times after that, I still have a lot of doubts that I had to fight with in that. The one thing I know for sure is from that point on, I actually have a purpose. I have a savior. I have someone who is my friend, someone that I can actually call on and actually walk with. So, my testimony.
Great. Sola, would you, just for numbers, would you like to come join us on this side? Yeah, that'll work well. There's six on each table, which is fantastic. Lovely, thank you. Fantastic. Right, so I'm gonna hand over to the folks who are leading the different tables, and we're gonna talk about testimony. Okay, in terms of sharing our testimony, and they're gonna go. You'll write some things down about your life before you met Jesus, very briefly, very simple, very straightforward, how you encountered Jesus and what the difference that he's made in your life, and then share it in pairs together around the table. And we're going to give about 10 minutes or so for this. So when you share the testimony, Kenny did brilliantly. Exactly, something like that, 2 to 3 minutes. With each other, and do it in pairs. You can swivel your chairs around accordingly so that you've got a bit of privacy. You can speak to the person next to you or the appropriate person. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Introduce yourself if you don't know each other. Yeah, say hi. All of those things. Get to know each other. Yeah. That's one of the wonderful things. Sorry if I had to shorten your. The second person there. Ask yourself, how did that feel? How did it feel not only to share your testimony, but to hear somebody else's story? See, the amazing thing about a testimony, it's your story. Nobody can take it from you. I mean, that what Ken shared, his story, wow. I mean, so powerful. So powerful, and you don't have to have, before I came to Jesus, I robbed 7 banks or killed 5 people or, was mugged by a gang of thieves. That may have happened to some of you here. The people like that in the Bible who got saved. So God, that's a wonderful thing about the power of God. But my story is I had a religious background. I struggled with some things as a teenager. My brother got saved and I saw something change in his life. I came to Christ and I started reading my Bible. I started reading my Bible and I saw that it wasn't about religion, but it was about life. That's kind of my story. And I came into freedom and life and just saw, yeah, this is about relationship. And the amazing thing is that when myself and this lady who I was with yesterday, we went out onto the streets. As we went up the lane here yesterday, we saw somebody just standing by Capital Solutions. He was also an African gentleman. His name is Alan. He was having a cigarette, which is fine. And the lady, took the initiative and said, "We're out sharing the gospel." And immediately he was kind of on the defensive. "Oh, I don't believe in religion. You know, who created God?" You know, the church is always asking for money. And it was kind of the religious thing. And so we just let him speak. It's important that when we can engage with people, particularly strangers, that we respect them and we love them. And so we looked and said, "Hey, actually, Alan, when it comes to religion, I agree with you. I'm not religious either." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" So I shared my story with him. And suddenly, the whole conversation changed. Because it wasn't an argument between his idea of religion and our idea of God. But I could identify with some of his problems with religion because I grew up with it. And so, you see the power in that. But each one of your stories is powerful. It's because it's a night to day story. Yeah, every child of God has gone from a night to day story. That's what it says in the Message Bible in 1 Peter 3:16. A night to day story. You got a night to day story. One of our favorite movies is Night and Day. This is a night to day story. Yeah, and so. Yeah, so it's powerful. It shows that God's creative because we're all different. It shows he's very personal. So you've got this incredible package of power, personal, creative, and it just is so powerful. I want to encourage you to do that more often. We'll do that again in the life groups on Thursday because we need to be encouraged to share our story. Because it's powerful and it's wonderful. It's yours. It's irrefutable. Okay, so we're going to move on to another thing now. The folks are going to hand out just another handout. And this time, two things. And we're going to have 12 minutes to do this now. So five minutes, maybe 3 minutes on the first bit. If you hand out the sheets to the folks. There's one. I want you to pick out one question or one comment. So the first thing is, how do we turn conversations around to Jesus? So I've given three examples of comments or questions that might be made in a workplace. Number one is, what sort of weekend did you have? That question comes up regularly on a Monday. Another one is a comment. My wife was diagnosed with cancer recently. That's a bit more challenging. And then the other one at the end of the week is, thank God it's Friday. I don't want you to look at all three. Just pick one. And as a table, discuss how you would take that statement or that question and lead it. Direct that conversation towards God and towards Jesus. And let's do that for about, I'm going to do about 3 or 4 minutes, okay? Pick a question, pick a statement, and then how would we bring it around to Jesus? Okay, folks, wonderful. Just wanted to share a quick story from this week. It's Lynn's story, but In the home group, we prayed on Thursday night just for different people. That we again, we did it in the prayer meeting and this morning, that we're seeking to build bridges with. Thank you. Seeking to build bridges with. And so we pray for different people. And this particular person that Lynn prayed for came into the cafe on Friday morning. And that person is a regular. But as that person was paying, a conversation that she started the conversation with Lynn about something broader than just the cafe, broader than just the moment, and so that's part of this thing of connecting with people. Prayer is a massive thing in this whole thing. Praying for people, yeah, and it's building bridges. So these conversations, it's building bridges. I overheard some of the discussion there. So we don't just dive in and kind of take the conversation, you know, completely different direction immediately. Sometimes we can do that. But there's a bridges that are being built where actually you can bring Jesus in quite quickly, but you do it in a way that is helpful. Yeah. But sometimes, I mean, I know with guys in the workplace, you know, you can bring it in quite directly and in a fun way. I remember being at the airport one time, and I was just going to get, we were taking somebody back to the airport, we were leaving, we were just dropping them off, but we had a coffee with them, and they had these amazing scones in the glass display cabinet. And so I said, would you like one of those? Oh yeah, I'd love one of those. So I went up and bought a scone, and the lady behind the cabinet was serving them. I said, oh, your scones look amazing. You know, they were scone, cream, jam, cream, jam, cream, you know, it's like, so I said, that's amazing. Yeah, she said, they're cooked fresh this morning. I said, they look so good. If I didn't have a problem with my sugar levels, I would dive into them, you know. And I said, it's a bit like that with God. She said, oh, no, I said that to her. It's a bit like that with God. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, God is three in one, like these scones, jam, cream. And when you get into him, it tastes incredible. Bible actually says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So, and then she said, really? And we just had a quick chat, took my money, and that was it. But this simple, just like fun, it's like, this can be fun, guys. We can get creative, yeah, in terms of building bridges with people, so that people start to see the stuff all around that actually is reflective of who God is. Okay. We're going to share the gospel with each other now. Back in the pairs. And for the sake of time, we're not going to have too much of a preamble on this. So give it your best shot. So let me just give you a quick summary of the gospel. God is holy. We are not. He's perfect, we are not, we're sinners. We couldn't bridge the gap between ourselves and God, so God said, sent the only one who could, and that is himself in human form, Jesus, yeah? The perfect man, God himself. He bridged that gap. He died for our sins, rose again the third day, and that made available two gifts, forgiveness and life. And we receive that through repentance and faith. And the result of that is I become a child of God. That's the gospel. Even if you don't remember all of that, remember a bit of it and share it in your own way with your buddy. Okay. And we're going to do that in 5 minutes, two minutes each. Okay. Share the gospel in pairs as best as you can. Okay. Own way, in your own creative way, but with the truth of the gospel.